All right, so this is class number 3. And just to reiterate to everybody that's just joining us now, our first class was on journaling. We were taught how to journal using the Mark Vickler curriculum. And we were asking the Lord a general question throughout our weeks. Lord, what do you want to tell me today? Lord, is there something you'd like me to do today? Lord, simple questions like that. Not yes and no questions, not life direction questions. Just simple, generic, learning how to commune with the Lord through journaling. Okay? And then we studied the next week on how to study the Bible and how to glean light out of the Bible. And you guys were given a homework assignment on Psalms 100. And I hope you guys out there did it on Psalms 100 also. The homework was, as I'm sharing with you all again, that the Lord would show you certain aspects of that psalm and that would be illuminated to you, and I'd be interested to hear in what your heart got out of that psalm. So would anybody like to come up and share? Come on up. Okay. Larry King, you can go first. All right. You don't have to if you don't want to. You will. All right. Marsha's willing to go first if you don't want to. All right, good job. See, I want to let you know, it takes guts to come up here and be the first one to share. Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. I don't know if this is going to be insightful or not, but I guess I better put my eyes on. To me, I guess I kind of broke it down verse by verse. Basically, all mankind, to me, it's like God was saying all mankind should joyfully shout and praise the Lord. And not just because he thinks he deserves it or whatever. It's for our benefit, you know. And then we're to be happy, a happy servant. Always eager to comply with his directions, because he indeed does know the best directions for us in all aspects of our lives. And we're to sing to him in communion also, or I feel like we should. And I think I read that in there, that it's very important to do so. Again, for our own benefit. It glorifies him, but it also just, you know, that's where our joy comes from, is singing praises to him. Blah, blah, blah. Where should I go next? And I wrote, we enter into his outer courts with thanksgiving and our hearts for him first, then into his presence with praise and worship to him and his name. That's probably fairly close to the way it's actually written. I didn't try to look at it to see there, but I guess right. It is. And then I wrote, the Lord is great, awesome, amazing, powerful, because that's what I was seeing in my mind at the time I was, you know, got later into the short chapter there, that he is great, awesome, amazing, powerful, but also he's sweet. He's loving. He's long-suffering. His mercy never ends, and I know he certainly never gave up on me with all my hard-headedness in my life, and he never will. And his words of truth are everlasting. They're more solid than the largest rock formations. They are just, they're sound. And his character is just absolutely that of faithfulness. He is faithful.
Amen. You got a lot out of that, Larry. Praise the Lord. Give him a hand clap. That takes a lot to share. Anybody else want to share something? Bruce? All right. We'll give him a second to come on up here. Now, don't feel bad. If you only got a sentence or two, that's all right. Larry's writing a book, so he's in the flow right now. No, he literally is.
I was under the impression we were supposed to do it every day, so I got different parts of it on different days. But my two favorites were Shout Unto the Lord, which was a word to me because I'm usually a very quiet person. I'm not the kind of person that's going to be shouting the loudest in the crowd and stuff. And I know Pastor Trey, a lot of times when several of us are praying in tongues, he's usually the loudest. But I also had learned in one of the teachings recently that, you know, being loud is the way it is in heaven, and being loud can give us more of an emphasis on what we're asking for or demanding, as we've been taught from God. My most favorite one was the one today, though, and it was just a part of a phrase that said, "Come into my presence," and I took it as a command. That's what we're supposed to do every day, is come into his presence.
Amen. Good job. Did anybody else do it every day? Okay. You did it twice? That wasn't the assignment, but that's great. All right, one last one. Who would like to do the last one? Okay, Alan Hornaday. I only picked him because he said this is his favorite psalm in the Bible. That's the only reason I picked him.
I'm sort of like Bruce. I got an inspiration every day. And the first one was, when you make a joyful noise, that, to me that means I need to make a joyful noise, sing my praises louder so I can be an inspiration to other people.
Amen.
Help other people. Mm. And then the other one is, like Bruce said, is coming to his presence with thanksgiving. I have so much to be thankful for. So that's what I do.
Praise the
that's
Lord.
That's why I started.
Thank you, Jesus. Good job. Give him a hand clap. I can tell y'all are going to be preachers one day. Nobody's rushing to the podium at all. Praise the Lord. All right. So rather than I give you a homework assignment in the Bible, because as you know, we're writing in our journals every day, and we're going to start doing some verse or something every week for this 8 weeks, okay? What we're doing is we're doing a cumulative increasing in these exercises so that by the end of the 2 weeks, you will have an intense routine that you will have created yourself, okay? Like I said, this is spiritual exercise, just like a natural exercise. When you go to the gym, you have a goal. Either you're going to lose weight, gain muscle, build endurance, or maintain. You were going to pick one. And you make exercises appropriate to that, and you curtail your diet to that goal that you have. And we do the same thing spiritually. Okay? So today, I want to change a little bit, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit a little bit. Because for those of you that are visiting or new, let me recap. We have a body. Everybody's aware of our physical bodies. We have a soul. Well, we are a soul. That is our life. Our soul is the life that's in us. And that life is what we call our mind, our will, and our emotions. We've been taught that. So when we're born on the earth, everything that we record from birth till the day before we get born again and after is all subject to the temporariness of this world. All of it is gleaned from this world's wisdom, from this world's authority, from this world's knowledge, okay? And then our identity, the thing that we call us, it's not actually us. It's not who we are, but we think it's who we are because we spent all this time recording and accumulating information and experiences, so we call it us. But God says, that's not you. That guy has to die. The real you is actually the one that lives in the Spirit. When we get born again, we get born of the Spirit of God, and God becomes our Father. And the Bible says that when we turn to Christ, or we repent, or we are converted and we turn to Christ, then the veil is lifted, okay? And then we can start having a real relationship with God himself. We can't do that until we're born again. God's a Spirit, so we can only relate to God in the Spirit. Okay? In the Spirit, the aspects of our spirit, again, as you've got mind, will, and emotion for your soul, for the Spirit, it is your conscience, communion, and intuition. Some people don't like the word intuition, so you can say divine flow or divine knowledge or divine knowing, if that sounds better to your heart, okay? But nonetheless, it is inspired from the Spirit into you. It does not come from anything you could witness in this world. It comes from another source. And we're going to be talking about that some more. That's the communion with God that we are writing out in our journals, that inspired word that's coming as we put our attention on Jesus. And as I've told you, people may disagree, but this is my firm belief, is that only spiritual growth comes from these three areas. Nothing else actually grows you and reveals the kingdom of God. Nothing else. It has to come by the Spirit. It's the only way. And so we can spend a lot of time being good people. We can spend a lot of time being generous. We can spend a lot of time reading the Bible. We can spend a lot of time quoting verses. But if it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, it's just mimicking the things of the kingdom. There's no life on it. Okay? And you'll still feel separated from God, as if there's some distance between you and Him, and the intimacy won't be there. So you'll still wonder why, because you're doing the things that mimic the kingdom of God without actually getting them from the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So we're getting exercises to actually fine-tune and hone our senses, and the word senses is your perception, your ability to perceive, to accumulate information. Your perception has to come from the Spirit. That means we have to tune ourselves or train ourselves to actually follow and glean from the Spirit. And I gave an example last week that it's very easy to override that. Remember the example of my lunch? Do you guys remember that? I made my lunch. I pulled it out of the freezer. I set it on the, what's that thing in the center of the island? And ready to go to work. And the Holy Spirit just quick, He says, put it in a bag or you'll forget it. And I'm standing right next to it saying, I can't forget it. I'm standing right here. I walked off and left it because it wasn't in a bag. Because I'm used to grabbing the bag and walking out the door. So I overrode Him, and guess what I went out without that day? My lunch. Okay, it's a little thing, but it's a very clear indication that the voice of God is not a commanding and demanding voice. And we have to learn to follow Him, that He can lead us in the Spirit. Amen? Okay, so let's go on today. We're going to start with common ways the Holy Spirit communicates with us directly. Okay, so these are some common ways that the Holy Spirit communicates with us a mano, one-on-one. Ready? Seeing. Seeing is one of the ways He does it. So what He'll do is He'll give you a spontaneous mental picture or image prompted by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it'll just bubble up. And we've given this example before, and I'll reiterate it again today. You'll be going along your way, doing whatever you do to spend your day, whether you're at work, at school, at home, with the kids, with your spouse, going to the bank, and to the gas station, and to the grocery store, whatever you're doing, your mind is focused on your chores for the day. And as you're going along with your mind set on certain things, something random bubbles up through that information, and it could be a picture or a little movie. Is what we're saying here, seeing. And that is the Holy Spirit bubbling up from your spirit to communicate with you whatever that image is or the symbolism of that image to you. And the thing about the symbolism with God is you will know what it is. He's talking to you personally. It may come as a still or a moving picture. I've had both. Sometimes it's just one picture. Sometimes it's a little scene where something's taking place. I remember one time I was in Lowe's and I was practicing seeing. And so what I do is I just look at people and say, Holy Spirit, show me something about that person. And then I pay attention to either the movie or the image or what I hear or the word or whatever all of a sudden comes out. And I start paying attention to that. And then as I go to another person, Same thing. And after I do it a while, I never tell anybody I'm doing it. After a while, I get convinced on how God speaks to me. I get convinced so that I can trust it and we can start building on it. And then we can start involving that other person down the road. It may come as a written word or a group of words. Some people see words. Some people are very literal and they just see words. And my wife, she hears a word. A word. And if she goes with that one word, then more will follow after that. We'll talk about getting just a little bit and going on. It may be instantaneous, or it may develop slowly, like a Polaroid photograph. You may start just seeing the essence of a picture when you look at them, but you got to tune in clearer to see really what that picture is of. Again, we are learning how to activate our spiritual senses that we're not normally used to focusing on as our dominant information source. It may take practice with a brief period of trial and error, learning to determine which images are from the Holy Spirit. You got three sources that this stuff can come from, just to let you know. What do you think they are? Shout it out. God, Satan, and you. That's it. You got three places that the pictures can be coming from, or the words can be coming from. The devil, you, or God. So you get to figure out over time which ones are you, which ones are God, and which ones are the devil. I just want to give you a clue. You would think the devils are easy, wouldn't you, to figure out what's the devil. I want to let you know, he was the most subtle beast. The thing about the devil is when he's telling you something, he's usually already got you where he wants you before he tells you. You're already invested emotionally, or he's already got you stirred up before he gives you the information. Just want to let you know. That's why we read our Bible so much and we learn the character and nature of God so that we can walk in peace when we're doing this, all right? Hearing, that's another way that the Holy Spirit communicates directly with us. God may speak with an outer audible voice. Can you think of any times in the Bible that God spoke out loud that their physical ears could hear it? When? Say that again. When he said, "This is my beloved son," when the Holy Spirit was descending on him, he spoke out loud. Everybody heard him. Also, Samuel, remember when he had to go to Eli and Eli said, "Yes, I hear, Lord." Out loud he spoke. Okay, so God does. How about on the Mount Sinai? God spoke. His voice was so loud it scared everybody so bad they said, "Moses, you go talk to him. We'll do whatever you say." Okay, because his voice, and it says that, even it says in Hebrews that Moses was absolutely terrified also, but he did it. All right, so God can speak out loud. He may also speak on the inner audible voice. It seems very clear and seems to come from within you, like my lunch. Put that in a bag or you'll forget it. Okay? It just comes from you. It's just your voice or a voice that you hear and you're used to. I don't know how to say this, but he used to sound like a friend of mine for a while. I don't know why. I was fixated on the guy's accent, and so whenever the Holy Spirit was talking to me, I would hear him through that accent. And it was crazy for a while. And I had to say, "Lord, you just got to stop talking to me like this. It's freaking me out." And it was like a week later, it was gone forever. It hasn't come back. All right. So God will most often speak with a small, still voice. Like it says in 1 Kings 19, he's not in the whirlwind, the tornado. He's not a big crashing voice. He's in the still, small, quiet voice most of the time. So that means we have to actually be able to calm and quiet ourselves so that we can pay attention when he talks to us. Okay? God is not in a rush, and he's a gentleman. He is teaching us for eternity, not just the situation we're in today, whatever that is. For eternity, he's grooming us to be able to be intimate with him. So day by day, as the more attention we put into it, the clearer and more concise and more intimate and fulfilling the relationship will be. His voice comes also as spontaneous thought that interrupts our thought. That was the first one that I talked to you about. That is the one that is also the one that when we are journaling, it'll just spontaneously just bubble right up and just start flowing. How many of you, let me ask, are better at journaling now than you were 2 weeks ago? Several of you. Many of you. Good. Good. Okay. It may be just a single word indicating some need. I was counseling a couple in a church that I was in before this one. Well, actually, it was my wife and I and the pastor and his wife and another lead group leader and him and her. And they were talking back and forth and trying to solve all these things about what they were dealing with. And I was just sitting there. And I was just quiet and I just bowed my head. And I'm going, Lord, this is going nowhere. It's going absolutely nowhere. What do you want to do here? And I really resigned it to God and just allowed him to tell me or show me something. And I just got one word, just one word. And when I shared the one word, then I got a whole picture of stuff. But it wasn't until I said, I'm hearing this. Does this mean anything to you guys? And all of a sudden, the whole thing just went like as if we just took a match and threw it on kerosene. It just went whoosh, just like that. One word from the Holy Spirit. Because everybody was hitting it from different angles. Nobody was taking responsibility for the thing. And he was able to just so sweetly just hit it. And everyone repented. It got cleaned up instantly and literally changed the course of those relationships right then and there with one word from the Holy Spirit. So do not underestimate one word. I'm just going to jump ahead and tell you this. It's more important to the Lord that we follow his leading than we be right. Okay? He doesn't mind if you miss it a little bit, if you're humble when you miss it. Okay? I tell people this all the time. The most expensive thing in heaven is a humble heart. That is the thing that God actually prizes the very, very, very highest in heaven is true humility, genuine humility. That is the most valuable thing in heaven, just to let you guys know. Because when you truly just humble yourself and you're not the inflated one, but instead you're the obedient one that just follows what you hear or see, and that's all you do is just give that part, the Lord can trust you to give you more because it's purer of him. Purer, did I say that right? It's more pure of him. Does that make sense? Less of you, more of him. I want to let you know, people receive from a humility, a humble person, much more than they do a know-it-all. I just want to let you know. Humility opens the door of a heart to drink in. Pride makes the other one stand up toe-to-toe with you. And the door isn't open so much. So they may get the actual information, but that doesn't mean you actually added to them. Added to them. So take what the Lord gives you on faith and step out, even if you're afraid. Be willing to be embarrassed. Be willing to be wrong. Be willing to completely miss it. Be willing that the other person gets embarrassed and defends themselves and denies that what you said was even right. After you practice a while, you'll have more confidence in what God's showing you than what's coming out of their mouth after you get better at it, okay? Do I need to tell a joke right now? You guys are very solemn here right now. We're going to get to the exercises in a minute. Third one, feeling. Feelings. Holy Spirit uses feelings. Not emotional feelings. Not the ones that are like runaway horses where your mind is racing and just taking you off and you're all stirred up in your heart. No. Or how about this? You really, 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 really want it bad. Lord, is it okay? No. That's an idol. That's not how it works. Feelings. God may speak to you through an inner impression, which we talked about. Just a knowing, just an unction. You just have an idea. You didn't get any pictures. He didn't speak any words. You just kind of, your knower just kind of got nudged a little bit. Okay? He'll go that way also with you. God's no respecter of your senses. He'll use whatever he can get through to you with. But he definitely has a way that he operates in. Okay? So you got the inner knowing. You know how you just know because you know because you know? And then you have inner peace or agitation. He'll use both. Okay? He'll either you have peace that, oh, this is the right decision. I have the most peace now when I ask the Lord if I can do this or this. I have more peace here. I'm letting peace be my umpire to decide which way the Lord's leading me. Okay? Or agitation. It may be that I'm walking and I need to go door knocking, right? And I get to this one door and I'm walking up the walkway and I'm getting all creeped out. Going, no, 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 no. I don't care who lives here. I'm not going to this door. And off you go the other way. Something ain't right. That's another way he'll do an inner knowing with no words and no pictures. You just get creeped out. You just get this agitation inside of you. Okay? So, inspired writings. We talked about that. David did inspired writings. Let's look at this verse real quick. Would you go to 1 Chronicles 28:19 in your Bibles? 1 Chronicles 28:19. There was lots of times when God used people to do journaling, and this is one other time that's pretty significant in the Bible. 1 Chronicles, we all read out of that a lot, don't we? Okay, it says, can I go ahead and read? All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. So what happened was the Lord put it on David to write this stuff out so that they can build this thing. And God inspired him just like he did the artisans and the craftsmen. He put it on David to be able to have inspirational writing so that they can follow his plans. Okay? He inspires you also, just like the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of this book. They are all divinely inspired to write this book. He will divinely inspire you to write in your journal. Okay? I'm going to chomp off of that for a little while because I want to go up to this other part right here. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit at the end here, and we're going to do some exercises in the Holy Spirit. But I want to share with you a few things about the Holy Spirit that if somebody's having trouble being led by the Holy Spirit, who here can follow the Holy Spirit perfectly? Nah, nobody can follow him perfectly here? Oh, good, you're all in the right class then. Praise the Lord. Who is a little clunky following the Holy Spirit? Okay, so let me ask you this. Is it, in your opinion, you don't know how to hear and follow, or is he not able to get through to you? Do you think he's not talking or is not pointed enough, or that you might not be as sensitive and as focused and as cued into him as you could be? I see heads nod. Huh? sensitive. You're not quite sensitive enough. Okay, so she's saying sometimes he's quiet, but she qualified it after he's giving her instructions. Then he gets quiet to see if she'll walk it out. Right. I agree with that. He's going to see if you're going to follow him or not. Yeah, he never told me a second time. He never went, told you you'd forget. He never did that to me when I forgot my lunch the other day. He never did that. So he's good about that. But yeah, he will be quiet afterwards to see if you're going to follow him or not. And since I'm on it, I may as well just jump ahead and just tell you this. I want to let you know something. If you're having a hard time hearing the Holy Spirit's voice, and you have been able to hear him in the past, I'm going to give you a great thing to ask him that will clear the way so that you can start hearing him clear again. Okay? And it's only because we have so many of our senses still steeped in the natural world, the carnal world of senses, is the only reason this happens, okay? So in that realm, condemnation's king. In that realm, condemnation's king. In the Lord's realm, in the Spirit, righteousness is king. Okay, he's the king of righteousness. Righteousness is king in his world. Condemnation is king in this world. So, ready? This is what you ask him. Lord, what are you telling me that I don't want to hear? What are you telling me that I don't want to hear? If you seem to be blocked and you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, ask him that question. And write down the flow that comes out of that. A lot of people put too much stock in their inadequacies and shortcomings rather than realizing how easy it is to clear that stuff up. All you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me for that. I release it in Jesus' name. And it gets clean right that second. There's no lingering with him. He says that if you'll confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive you of that and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's inequity. That is the stuff that keeps you out of his presence. Okay? Not being able to perceive that you are righteous, being able to be in a one-on-one relationship with him. Okay? Lord, what are you telling me that I'm unwilling to hear? Great question. Since we're on it, I can go off track, right? I'll just give you some more nuggets. Many of us fall prey to trying to think through situations rather than simply just saying, Lord, what do you want to tell me? Or what do you want me to do? Or Lord, what should I do in this situation? Lord, what's the answer to this situation? Going straight to him. Hopefully, journaling, you'll be able to get used to getting a direct response right away. Okay? Let me ask you this. In him, is there confusion? There's no confusion in God, right? The Bible says there's not even any shadow of turning. Okay? There's not even any shadow of turning. There's not even any place that he's not. There just isn't. So therefore, there's no confusion in him. He's always the truth, and he's always life. Always. Okay? So then it just comes to our hearts being able to hear and be willing to hear what we hear and being able to accept that we can have our answer right now. If we don't accept that he's going to tell us the answer right now, then we won't hear the answer right now because we can't accept that he's going to tell us the answer right now. Okay? Let me ask you. Where in the Bible, I'm going to tap into you Bible scholars, the ones that really know your Bible pretty well. Where does it say, and Jesus asked the Father and waited for a response? Where? In the Garden of Gethsemane? I see heads shaking. What, you don't agree with her? You say not. The woman caught in adultery. He didn't answer at that time, yes. He did not. He paused at that moment. And he was waiting for inspiration as to how to handle it. Okay? You are allowed to wait for clarity. To wait for divine inspiration. You're allowed to wait for the wisest way to handle this problem. Okay? Sometimes it's not clear cut. Remember the pictures? They might come in fuzzy and then they get clear and clear over a little bit of time I was telling you about. Same thing. When it's important to you, you want to be sure you're hearing the Lord. When it's a big deal. Because I'll tell you what, there are times when, especially as pastors, we have to deal with stuff Johnny on the spot. You know, and we got to do our best to not have too much of us invested in the situation. Okay? Same way with you. I'm telling you what, it's nothing more embarrassing than you go somewhere, one second, you go somewhere and you're being the Lord to that person and you totally miss it because you're invested in it. That's embarrassing for you and it's harmful to them because they're truly expecting you to be God on the spot, Him to use you that they can trust, and you'll shipwreck their faith. So we take time to hear clearly. Amen? Janice, that's really good. I didn't think anybody was going to get that, but you're awesome. All right. So using our natural senses, we go on. How to activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the exciting part. You guys want to do some exciting stuff? Pearline, did you want to say something? Are you done, Pearline? You had your hand up. Just praising the Lord. Oh, all right, all right. Just for communication's sakes, you guys, one hand's a question, two hands a praise the Lord, okay? Just so we're on the same page, all right? Okay, how exciting is this? Ready? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You with me? Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And He has not given us what? Spirit of fear. But of power, love, and a sound mind. So therefore, we need to stir up the gift of God that is in us. We have to activate it. We have to habitually exercise it. We are the ones that have to turn up the wattage. Okay? So whose responsibility is it to turn up the wattage? If God's always talking, if God's always there 100%, if He's always with me, I've always got His attention, He's good and He desires to give me the kingdom of God, He wants all men saved, all men healed, all men prosperous. That is His will always. Then it's on me to clear up the clogs, to get focused, and to pay attention, right? Let's tell everybody this. I'll tell you guys this too. When the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you, or the door will be opened, the verb tenses in those is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and you'll have it. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Is that because God wants to withhold from us? Then why does He tell us to keep doing it? Because we sometimes have trouble hearing. Anybody else got a suggestion on that? The world gets louder, so we got to keep on being reminded to turn the world down so we can hear clearer. Huh? Sometimes you have to press in. That's scriptural. Anybody else got a suggestion? Why do we got to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking? Activates our faith. Because what? We're not always easy to focus on Him. Okay, great answers. Those are all very good answers and very true answers. Let me see if I can just recapsulate it, okay, in a putting all that stuff together with an explanation. We are way more distracted than we realize. We are way more superficial than we realize. We are scattered out all over the place, especially with Facebook and YouTube and all the responsibilities and this microwave generation that we're a part of. Okay? We are. God is eternal. He has patience above patience. He has wisdom beyond wisdom. He has more than we even can begin to think or ask about. He's more than that. Way, way, way more. Okay? We are ants trying to comprehend the intelligence of a human being. Okay? It's not even in our world of thoughts, the things he thinks about. Okay? It's not even in our makeup yet. It's so far beyond us. Therefore, we have to actually get focused and get sincere. So when we ask, we keep on asking for us, how important is it actually to you? Are you ready to drive it home? Are you willing to stay with it until you succeed? Really? I'll tell you, I got taken to heaven once only because of my intestinal fortitude. Now, I wouldn't give up. I just kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. I wouldn't go away. I wouldn't give up. I said, Lord, if you're real, I want to see your face. If you're real, I want to see your face. I want to meet you. If you're alive, if you're forever our King, I want to meet you. And I stayed on it and stayed on it. For months, I stayed on it because I had to know for sure. Because I came out of the New Age and all the Christian girls, I can get them to do anything I wanted them to do. They had no staying power against me. Therefore, I needed to know that God really was God in my heart. I wish I would have never asked, but because he's bigger than I thought. He's more than I thought. But the thing is, we need to stay on it. God is good. It's just like the baker who had the bread, or the guy that had the bread. The other guy kept knocking, 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 knocking. This is important. I got to get it. This is important. I need to get it from you. This is important. Go away from me. I'm in bed with my kids here. Go away. No, you don't understand. I need some bread. I got a visiting guest. You got to give me some. You got the bread. I know you do. Come on. You know what? You would have given it to me another time. Wake up. Get out of bed. And you know what? Not because he was his friend, but his continually coming. God's better than that. Okay? It's, are we serious when we're coming to God? I'll just go on a rabbit trail. Mitten and Trey and I have prayed for people together, jointly, the three of us together. And I'll tell you what, they were ready to give up and quit before we were. And sometimes people don't pray all the way through something to the end to where they get their results. They give courtesy bows instead and they get quit early. But I'll tell you what, if we would, all of us together, if we would get more intestinal fortitude that we have to see these results, and we all stuck with it, and we all persisted, we might see more than we see right now. But it takes us actually pursuing it. Actually, here's, okay, I'm just going to go off rabbit trails. Why not? I do it all the time anyway. You guys, this is not dependent on God at all. Not at all. It's dependent on, one, do we believe him? And two, are we willing to get results? at whatever it costs us to get the results? What if we have to take a little more time than we're used to get the results? We're talking about growing in the Spirit, about actually being able to glean from the Spirit, not be a good person. You're already a good person. You're already generous. You're already kind. You already love the people around you. You do those things. It's not for lack of that. It's for genuine revelation, intimacy with God, that He's literally leading you into the kingdom of heaven lifestyle for all eternity. He's growing you up in who you really are for all eternity, so that we can have really dynamic interactions with Him and bring heaven to earth in here. What's our expectation level? Honestly, when you come into the room, do you expect that angels congregate to see what you're going to say? Do you know they would like to know what we know? Do you know they would like to participate? But it's got to look like heaven to attract their attention. Because they're on a much higher love plane than we are down here on the earth. And they're messengers of God. They are ministering spirits for us. And the thing is, are they a real part of our life? Are we at the place where our praise and our worship is so magnified in your personal time with God that you attract the Father's attention, where in heaven He goes, wait a second. Look what they're doing down there. Look what they're doing down there. What's our expectation of the things of God and the kingdom of God? Really? Because wherever we set our expectation at, that's our goal. That's our mark. That's what we're going to attain to. There's no in heaven for us. The no comes from self-loathing, self-disqualification, what's the right word for being unfocused? I'll use unfocused. You know what I'm saying when I say unfocused? Distractions. We're distracted by as much things. Okay? We're all Marthas at times, and we need to be Marys. Okay? The world will go on without us for a few hours, that we can really bring the presence and the glory of God into this earth realm. Not because God is forcing it upon us, because we are generating that by our love and adoration for God. When we read our Bible, we read our Bible to get light, to get revelation that builds us on the inside, the kingdom of God, and makes it larger inside of us, so that we will then actually dwell in heaven while we're on the earth. Okay? If all of our thoughts and our attentions are spread out on the earth, then it'll be difficult to have any serious manifestations in the kingdom of God. We'll get grace manifestations because He loves people so much, but not because of what you have or I have. Pastor Trey taught on this, and he'll probably elaborate some more. I'm just going to steal a tiny bit of his thunder, is that he said this last Sunday, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give unto you. Okay? Can I rephrase that in my own words? Okay? Hey, I haven't got any money, but I got the power of God. Can I heal you right now? Can you say that? Hey, I haven't got any money, but I got the power of God. Can I heal you right now? Changes the whole atmosphere of the room all of a sudden, doesn't it? Flowery silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give it. It doesn't mean something to you. When you say, I have the power of God, can I heal you right now? I'll tell you what, you got someone's attention. But are we at the place where our relationship with God, that our obedience to the Holy Spirit are cultivating the atmosphere around us of heaven, that angels fight over which one gets to hang out with us today. They go, I want to be around Pearline today because she just loves the Lord. She's always praising the Lord. She'll lay hands on anybody I ask her to lay hands on. She don't care. Oh, I want to hang out with her. She's fun in the kingdom of God. We can do that. Okay? This mental block that so many people have, it needs to come off. The fear that the devil tries to get in our hearts, we have to recognize it as an attack. It's not our weakness. It's not our insecurity. It is not our shortcoming. It is the devil trying to stop you from walking victoriously. I had something hit me not too long ago. I've told Bruce and Trey because we work together. And I'm telling you, fear gripped my heart in the middle of the night because that's the only time he can get me, because in the daytime I've got my mind on things of God. But in the middle of the night, he got me, and fear got into my heart, got in there strong. I woke up sweating. I went, and here's what I recognized. I actually had fear in my heart. It was actually in there. So I don't go, well, Lord, I started doing that. Guess what? It didn't go away. I had to change my tactics. It took me almost 4 hours, over 3 hours, to get it out of my heart. Because I had to start changing tactics. I had to find out what actually will work to get it out of my heart. And I'll teach you guys this technique. You already do it. You just may not use it for the kingdom of God. Praying in tongues didn't get it out. You know how I got it out? Trey knows. I already told him. Worship? Nope, I tried that. That didn't get it out either. Bruce and Trey, that's only because I told you guys what I did. How did I get it out of my heart? I'll tell you how. Ready? Nope, I didn't ask either. Huh? Surrender? Nope, that didn't get it. I tried that too. I tried humbling myself. I tried confessing. I tried to say, okay, I fell short. I tried all that. None of that got it out of my heart. All that did was get me to be beat up more, staying in it. This is how I got it out of my heart. Ready? And went out quick after I did it. Go ahead. I did change my focus. And what I did was I started speaking to myself. I started talking to myself. Robert, you are not in condemnation. This is the devil. This is an attack. You are not to carry this thing. It's a lie. He's trying to shipwreck you right now. And I had to literally talk to myself and say, God is good, the devil is bad. If I am not glorifying God and feeling great right now, it is not God doing this, right? I said, I don't care about it. I said, Lord, you're so good, no matter what mess is created, I'm not going to fear over this mess. You can make it right for me. You can bring me anything I need to completely eradicate this, no matter how it turns out. I am not going to carry this anymore. I said, devil, you're a liar, and I will not continue to carry this. It took me nearly 4 hours before it actually left. If I would have quit, I would have been a serious mess. I was speaking to myself the truth according to God's word. I was speaking the truth. Because fear actually got in my heart. And that's another secret, you guys. If it gets in, you got to deal with it. You can't pretend and just try to overtalk it. It's like putting frosting on a dog poop pie. I don't care how much chocolate frosting you put on it. It's still got poop in it, man. I ain't eating it like that. So, all right, I just thought of a movie, Gone Out. So the truth of the matter is, you've got to purify the lump. You've got to have the heart clean. Amen? All right, it's already 8 o'clock, so I will pick up where I left off next week, so I'm just going to tell you where it is right now because we didn't even get to exercise. We can exercise if we want to after we turn off the camera, but I think that Is everyone in here, let me ask it this question, who is not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? 1, 2, 3. Okay, next week we're going to talk about that and get you baptized if you'd like to, okay? I'm going to spend time talking about it and explaining it and hopefully answering any questions, and then the rest of us will pray, because I want everyone to be able to pray in their heavenly language for what we're going to be doing next week, okay? The exercises we're going to be doing. And we're going to be praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you some tips to being really effective by praying in the Holy Spirit, okay? For personal edification. That's all this is for. To build yourself up in your most holy faith. Amen? All right, did you get anything good? Good. Thank you. Let me close in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this group of people, Lord. And I thank you for everyone that's hearing online. Lord, we just want to grow. We just want to be aware of you even more, that we can fulfill the call that you've called us to in this natural world, Lord, that we can be successful in whatever endeavor you lead us into, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask that you show us the areas in our lives that we're distracted or that we're fragmented, and that you would highlight them for us, that we can be put back together again with focus in our life and in our hearts, Lord. That, Father, that we can not be so distracted by the things of this world, but instead ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking until we get what we're looking for in you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would minister to each one that can hear my voice in a way that they can receive you best, Lord. Whether it's through the word, through journaling, through praying in their natural language, or through their heavenly spirit, Lord. However it works best for them, Lord, or any combination of it. But Father, I ask that each one of us would experience significant growth in the next month and a half, Lord. And I just trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.